Acts chapter 2. Just while you're turning there, let me remind you that on Sunday evenings at the moment, we are in a series on what we've titled Becoming a Christian. We are looking at stories in Acts on of occasions where people became Christians. And in many ways, a bit like a football game or a rugby game when someone scores, that you get to watch the goal from multiple angles. In many ways, that's what we're doing over these Sunday evenings. We are looking at this one single event of someone becoming a Christian, and we're looking at it from multiple camera angles. Same event, but a different angle. And so we pick up another one of those angles this evening in Acts chapter 2. And let me just first of all read our particular focus, which is the end of verse 47. But then I want to go back and read it in its context. So the end of verse 47 says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." But let me put that in its context. Let's go back to verse 41 and let's read from there. "Those who accepted his message were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." This is God's word to us this evening. It says in Hebrews, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Our God and our Father, we ask, please, that you would keep us from having hard hearts as we listen, and have hearts that receive your word and do what it says. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let me first of all address you, if I may, if you're a Christian this evening. Have you ever had that sort of sinking feeling at the repeated sins that you just do over and over again? You ever experienced that? The frustration, the discouragement at that anger again, at that lie that you tell again, at the ongoing messiness of your own life. You ever had that? Or perhaps you're not a Christian and you have a view that if you become a Christian, your life will get sorted out. It'll be fine. You know, all my problems will go away. All those things that I hate doing, you know, they'll just disappear. Well, I want to tell you this evening that actually this part of God's word that's in front of us teaches us something really important about the Christian life, and in particular about becoming a Christian. And it can be summed up, I think, with these words: work in progress. Becoming a Christian means that we are becoming people who are a work in progress. We're like a building site. Your life, my life, when we become a Christian, is like a building site rather than the finished project. It's like a building covered in scaffolding. Hey, that's familiar, isn't it? We are like a building site. Our lives become work in progress. And I would tentatively suggest this evening that the scaffolding is a pretty good help to us this evening, because I think wherever a group of Christians gather, like we are tonight, maybe we should hang signs like this on the door outside to remind ourselves that when we become a Christian, we become a work in progress. It's not everything sorted. It's not the finished product. We are work in progress. And so this evening, as we look at Acts chapter 2, And in particular, this last part of verse 47, I want to try and summarize what this camera angle on becoming a Christian shows us about becoming works in progress. And I want to summarize it like this. Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to add you to his being saved people. Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to add you to his being saved people. And so I just want to break that sentence down really and have a look at that in its different parts. So first of all, becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus. That's what this camera angle of chapter 2, verse 47 shows us. Have a look down there. It says, the very first words are, "and the Lord." Now the Lord here is Jesus, and it's a description. Verse 47 is a description of another group of people being added to the church, becoming Christians. This is a group of people who, if we'd had time and could read the whole of Acts chapter 2 again, like we did last week, it's a group of people who have heard the message that Jesus is Lord and Christ. It's a group of people who have heard that Jesus was crucified and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins. This is a group of people in verse 47 who have repented because they've realized their offensive behavior in rejecting the Lord Jesus and have turned to him for forgiveness. That is this group of people that we are seeing in verse 47. And if you look back to verse 41, which is why I read it, it's kind of a sandwich because there's two addings. And in between, you've got a description of that group of people. This is a rapidly growing group of people who are believing, repenting, and finding forgiveness of sins. But who is doing the work? Who is taking all these people, the thousands of verse 41 and the daily numbers in verse 47, who is adding them in? Who is making them become Christians? It's really clear in the text that we have in front of us, from this camera angle, from how we're watching this week, that it's a work of Jesus. It is a work of Jesus to bring someone to become a Christian. Just look again at those words. The Lord, Jesus, added to their number. Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus. Now, sure, every one of us has a story. And so if we were to change to another camera angle, some of us might say, well, you know, I was brought up in a family where I was taught Jesus and I went to a church and I had faithful Sunday school leaders and they taught me Jesus and they taught me about the cross, they taught me about the resurrection. And then I had some faithful youth leaders. I had a friend who was a Christian. We all have a story to tell. But if you zoom out from that story and you look at it from another camera angle, what are we being told today? We're being told that ultimately, Jesus is responsible for us becoming Christians. He is the Lord who does the adding. It's his work. It's his plan. It's his work to bring you across the path of people who will teach you that message. Jesus is the Lord. Even the title gives him away as the one who is in control. It's his gospel that is preached. It is him who causes people to hear his gospel and be cut to the heart. And it is him who causes people to repent and to turn to him. Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus from start to finish. And we've got to get that, because that's what this camera angle is showing us about becoming a Christian. It's his life that he gave so that our sin could be forgiven. It's his work to make sure that the message of that cross that happened all those years ago is preached today in our town. It's his work that brings people like us to hear that message and to believe it. And it's his work to cause people to repent and believe. Just as you, I've never been, so this is a very cultured illustration for me, but just as going to watch an orchestra, There's somebody at the front who's waving that thing around. And I'm told reliably that that is making things happen. He is waving his stick and people do something. And he points to someone else and they do something. Or perhaps something I'm more familiar with, but the idea of if you go to a movie set and you step back far enough, what do you see? There's a guy sitting on a chair who's directing. He's telling actors where to go and what to do. And he's in control of everything that's going on. And this evening, what we're being shown from the camera angle of chapter 2 in verse 47 is that the risen and ascended Lord Jesus is on his throne. He is the director of people becoming Christians. He is moving people to places and circumstances so that they hear the message of our Lord Jesus and his cross and his resurrection. They are cut to the heart and they turn and they are forgiven. The Lord Jesus is utterly in control of becoming a Christian. It is his work. And so the question is, what do we do with that truth this evening? We're being told that, we're being shown it. What are we to do with that? Well, for some of us here this evening, as we hear that, it will really rattle us. It will really agitate us. Because we don't like the idea of not being able to do something out of our own choice. Something out of my control. For some of us, it will make us shift the blame. Well, you know, if Jesus is the director of people becoming Christians and I'm not a Christian, well, it must be his fault because he's the director and he hasn't said so. But can I tell you this evening that even feeling like that exposes something in us, that the truth that becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus is actually meant to challenge in us. The truth that the Lord Jesus is the one in control of us becoming Christians should first of all humble us. You've got to get your head around the fact that he is the one who causes us to become Christians. We cannot do it ourselves. We must come to an end of ourselves and stop trying to do it ourselves in order for us to come to the one who gives it to us. This truth that becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus should humble us. But this truth should also correct us. You know, for those of us perhaps that think that Christian is becoming a Christian is a bit like a life choice. You know, I'm going to do a diet and I'm going to do Christian things because that's going to make my life better. Actually, what we've got to realize is it's not. The Lord Jesus is utterly and totally in control, and it corrects us. It stops us trying to think, if I can just do these certain things, then I will become a Christian. Or if I can behave in a certain way, then I will become a Christian. Or if I keep the Ten Commandments, like we're looking at in the morning, then I become a Christian and God has to accept me and give me eternity. If we stand back and see the truth that becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus, then it humbles us and it corrects us. It brings us an end to ourselves. And actually, it causes us to go to the one who gives it. Earlier in chapter 2, if you recall from last week, we read something. It said this: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What is the right response to discovering that Jesus is totally in control of us becoming a Christian? We call on the name of the Lord, who is Jesus, and we say, save us, save us. For others of us this evening, and this is really how it's helped me this week, understanding afresh that it's a work of Jesus has made me pray with fresh energy this week for the people that I love who aren't Christians. It's not my work, it's Jesus' work. And so I call to the Lord for the people I know who I long to be saved. And actually, what about us? As we hear a truth like that, some of you will have heard that truth hundreds of times. Some of you will know that truth. Some of you will love that truth. But actually, it should cause us to be glad and praise God with glad and sincere hearts. And that is exactly what was happening in this community of believers. Just look back at verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread together in their homes. And they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Of course they did. because the Lord, Jesus, had worked salvation for them. He had caused them to become Christians. Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus. And it's a work of Jesus to add you to his people. Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to add you to his people. I brought some Lego with me this evening, not because I thought I'd be bored at any point during the service, but because I think it's a really good picture of what Jesus is up to when he causes people to become Christians. We love playing with Lego at home. And one of the great things about it is that you just keep adding to it. And as you add something, it's literally a join, isn't it? Look, it's not going anywhere. And I can add another one. And my module can get bigger and bigger. Now, there is a limitation with Lego. We've discovered that if you build something too big, it falls apart. But it's joined. It's added. You take a piece that's something that doesn't belong to your module, and you add it on. You join it on. And that is what we're being told. Have a look again at verse 47. The Lord, so Jesus, the one who's totally in control of people becoming Christians, adds people to his people. You see that word there? The Lord added to their number. It's literally this idea of being joined in. Becoming a Christian is when our Lord Jesus decisively takes people who do not belong to his people, who are not saved, who are not forgiven people, and he takes them and he decisively joins them in. There's a moment, there is a point in time when that happens. You are added to God's people, to the Lord's people, to Jesus' people. There's a definite moment when that happens. The Apostle Peter puts it like this. He says, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. There is a change. There is a transition. He says, once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. When the Lord Jesus is at work, what is he doing? Well, he's taking people and he is joining them. He is adding them into his people, his saved, his rescued, his forgiven people. And the moment that you become a Christian, the moment you are cut to the heart and you turn in repentance, you are joined to a new community of people. Not optionally, you are. You are joined to a new group of people. New loyalties, new bonds. It's a community of those who have heard the message and repented and believed. It is a community of people who are relying on the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And so becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to take people who are not his people and to add them to his people. Now, what does that mean? What does that, you know, that's great, Nathan. That's a great truth. But what does that mean? What does that difference does that make to us this week? Well, first of all, I want to say to you that when you become a Christian, it means you belong. You belong to the people of Jesus. He has joined you. He's joined you in to a group of his people. He has given us a place. That means that as we look around this room, he's given us new bonds, new ties to one another. The New Testament's really rich in language to describe the church, and lots of them are kind of linked together type images. So a body is a great image, isn't it? Because my hand is linked to my arm, and my arm is linked to my body. It's a linked-in image, and that's why it describes the church like that. It describes us like a family, because as he joins you, as he adds you to his number, he is joining you into a new family, new ties. He describes us like a building, with like we're all bricks. I know that's probably an insult to some of you if I call you a brick, but he says we are. We're like living bricks that are being kind of bolted together like Lego bricks, and we're joined and we're connected and we're alive and we're moving together. The New Testament describes us as connected and joined in, and that is a work of Jesus. When he makes you become a Christian, he joins you to his people. And isn't that what you see? That's why I read verse 42 to 47, because isn't that what we see there? A group of people who have become a new community. New bonds, new loyalties, new desires. They want to be together. They love each other. They want to be together. So first of all, we belong. But secondly, we're not alone. We're not alone. Some of us may become Christians very young. Some of us here may have been Christians for a long time. And even today, tonight, if some of us choose to become Christians by responding to the message that Jesus has brought in front of us, then actually some of us may have a long time till heaven or till the Lord Jesus returns. So what about this big chunk in the middle? What do we do? Well, we're not alone. I'm going to think more about that middle bit in a minute, but we're not alone because we're joined into a group of people that are saved by Jesus. And so while we journey from the point where the Lord Jesus makes us Christians to the point where he returns, we're together. We've been given to one another. We've been joined together. We're not alone. The fact that becoming a Christian means that Jesus adds you to his people also means that church is not optional. Church is not optional. I often get asked the question, and not only by teenagers, the question, do you have to go to church to be a Christian? You ever been asked that question? Do you have to go to church to be a Christian? Now, I know what they mean, okay? I know what they're talking about in terms of do you have to come out on a Sunday? But actually, do you know, I want to put it, and if you had just verse 47 in front of you, what would you say to them? I would say to them, you can't be a Christian without belonging to church. Because when the Lord Jesus saves you, what is he doing? He is adding you to his number. He is adding you to his people. According to verse 47, becoming a Christian and being joined into the church are two inseparable things. And you might say, oh yeah, well Nathan, I understand that. You know, that the church all time, forever, everywhere, all God's people from all of history. Yes, I understand that, Nathan. But what about, you know, local church? What about going out to church on a Sunday? Well, I'd say, look closely at verse 47. It says he added to their number. It literally says in the original language, in that place. This was a local group of people in the city of Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus, as he adds them to their number, he attaches them to a local group of believers, a local group of people who love Jesus. When Jesus saves us, he adds you to his people, yes, his all-time people, but also to his local people, the people that believe. The people through whom you may have even heard the message in the first place. And fourthly, just another thought about this thing that if you're becoming a Christian, it's Jesus adding you to his people. It means that we can expect to be part of a constantly changing community. Have a look closely again at verse 47. It says, doesn't it, that they were, the Lord added to their number, how often? Daily. Now that's a lot of change, isn't it? You're just getting comfortable, you know, you've got to know the guy sitting next to you, and then what else happens? Well, someone else comes in and sits next to you on the other side, and then tomorrow you turn up, and what else happens? Well, there's somebody else over there. We should be expecting to be a rapidly, constantly changing community. Why? Because Jesus is at work in our world to add people to his saved people. That's what he's doing. And if that's Jesus' agenda, then we should expect it, and we should welcome it, and we should get on board with it. The church should be a constantly changing group of people because Jesus is adding people to his church. So becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to add you to his people. But actually, it's a people, finally, that he is in the process of saving. Now, we all understand the language, don't we, of being in a process. So if I drop my car off at the garage and someone says, oh, Nath, where's your car today? You say, oh, it's being fixed, don't you? Because it's in the garage, you've dropped it off, you haven't got it back. It's being fixed. Or someone's painting a room in your house and you say, what's going on in there? Oh, it's being decorated. We understand that language, don't we? That there's a process going on. There's something happening. And that's where we might use those words that I started with this evening. Work in progress. You know, if you go into a town and they're refurbing a shop, it's often work in progress. Or if there's, someone's cleaning in a shop, there's a sign up that says cleaning in progress. There's something happening. And when you see the sign, you know that something's happening, or you hope that something's happening. But it's that idea of being a work in progress that we find in Acts this evening, in this phrase. Look, have a look really carefully, okay? It might be a little bit subtle, but it's really clear once you see it. How does he describe the Christians in verse 47? How does he describe the Christians? He describes them, doesn't he, as those who were being saved. You spot that there? It's literally the ones who are being saved. Now, okay, you have to bear with me. This has a point, all right? But oddly, when I was a teenager, I used to go a lot to Gatwick Airport. Not because I had any fascination with planes, but because there was loads of shops and it was a place to hang out near where I lived, okay? That's what happens if you grow up in the countryside. So here I was in Gatwick, and there was this really, really long tunnel, okay? And I can't even remember what it was, but I do remember because I thought about it this week. And this tunnel basically was really, really, really long, but they had floors that moved. So you got on at one end of this floor and you just kind of stood there, and it just used to take you along the floor. And it just used to just kind of, it was like a conveyor belt thing or a kind of an escalator, but it was flat. Has anyone else seen those in Gatwick? Now, the reason I was thinking about this week, however random that may sound, is because it got me thinking about being a Christian. Because we're looking tonight at the fact that it's a work of Jesus. And actually, I had to do very little when I got on that conveyor belt. I got on at the start, and it carried me along. Now, please don't mishear me. I'm not saying that we don't do anything, that we can be lazy in the Christian life. But from the camera angle of verse 47, the Lord Jesus has kind of got us on his conveyor belt, and he is making us in a process. He is working to do something in us. He's working to save us. Now, some of you, if you're alert, will be thinking, hang on a second. I thought you said we're saved. Now you're saying he's saving us. Well, yes, I am. Because the New Testament uses the word save in three ways. Okay, and let me try and just briefly outline them. So first of all, we can legitimately and rightly say as a Christian that I have been saved. There is a point in my life when, and it's a point we've been thinking about this evening, when the Lord Jesus cuts us to the heart, and we repent, and we turn to him and receive forgiveness of sins. At that moment of our life, we are saved. We are totally saved from the punishment and the penalty that my sin deserves because of what the Lord Jesus did at the cross. It is done. It is past tense. Saved. But equally true in the New Testament, and we see it in verse 47, is that we are being saved. There is a process going on in us, a saving process. And what are we being saved for? Well, there's a day when the New Testament says we will be saved. There's a day coming when the Lord Jesus will return and he will save us completely as he rids sin from this earth and from our bodies. He will save. And in Acts 2, verse 47, look again at that description. To those who were being saved. It describes the church as a group of people in the process of being saved. Jesus is at work to take messy, sin-filled lives like ours and to save us from the power of sin. To help us in our fight with sin, that daily struggle that feels so real and so fierce. He's daily at work in us to help us to say no to what's wrong and yes to what's right. It's a fight that continues through all of our life until we can use the tense, we'll be saved in the past tense, if that makes any sense at all. So how is it that Jesus is saving us now? What is he doing? What does it look like, this work of Jesus? Well, I want to show you that he does it. He is saving us now, today, by turning us into a group of people who are totally devoted to him and to his gospel. That is how he is saving us today. He is at work in us to cause us to be totally devoted to him and to his gospel. And that's what we're seeing in verse 42 to 47. It's like for a moment that you can peek your head behind the scaffolding and you can see what work's going on. You can, as it were, kind of nosy for a moment in the building site and say, what's happening in here? And it's as if you're being given a window into the church at the time, the being saved people, that's how they're described. And you can see what Jesus is up to make them in this process of being saved. So let's just briefly have a look, shall we? Verse 42, they're devoted. Jesus is doing something with their desires and their wants, the things they want to spend their time on and their energies on. He's changing them from the desires outwards. And what is he causing them to want to do? Well, he's wanting them, they then become people who want to listen to Jesus. They devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. They want to hear what their new Lord and Savior has to say. They want to hear the gospel. They become people who enjoy being together. They become people who daily remember the cross and resurrection of Jesus as they break bread together. Jesus is changing them into people who know their everyday need of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. The cross and resurrection isn't just something for the start of the Christian life. It's an everyday thing. Because we're in the process of being saved. Every day I have a battle with sin. Every day I need to be reminded of the cross and resurrection of Jesus. And here is a community of people being saved. And what are they doing? Remembering the cross and resurrection. They want to pray together. They want to rely on Jesus together. Jesus is changing them into people who are encouraging each other. What with? Oh, you're really nice. You're a lovely person. You just keep going. No. They talk about the gospel together. They break bread in their homes. They praise and they sing and they pray. They are gospel, cross-centered, focused people. Why? Because that is how Jesus is at work to save us. That is his saving work going on. The message which they heard, the message which saved them, is the message which is saving them. Does that make sense? The message that saved them, the gospel message, is exactly the same message in this part of the Bible that is saving them. It's how Jesus is at work. It's the same gospel. It's the same Jesus. And as a group of people being saved, we will increasingly start to look like verse 42 to 47. As Jesus is at work in EEFC, we should look more and more like this. Because this is what it looks like to be in the process of being saved. What does that mean for us this evening? Let me just finish by applying it three ways. First of all, this evening, I really kind of want to end where I started, really. Which is that if you become a Christian, don't expect to have everything sorted. Why? Because you're being saved. Your life won't be all sorted out. All those sins that you've struggled with before becoming a Christian won't necessarily go away overnight. We're building sites. I know it's not a nice thing to think of yourself like, but we are. As individuals and as a group of people, we are building sites. We are work in progress. And we daily need to remind ourselves of the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. I daily need forgiveness. I daily need to be reminded that a victory has been won, that there is work being done, and there is a victory that will be won. And I do that by preaching the gospel to myself every day. So remember, we're work in progress. You need to remember that as an individual, but actually, we need to remember, secondly, that we belong to a group of people who are work in progress. The church is as much a building site as I am, personally. We're not finished. And so what does that mean? We've got to be mega patient with each other. We've got to be filled with the grace and love of our Lord Jesus. If we're preaching the gospel to ourselves, if we're preaching the gospel in our church, we are daily reminded with the grace, confronted with the grace and the patience of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. And as we preach that to ourselves, then what are we reminding ourselves to be? Patient and full of grace to one another. We are a being saved people, and we need constantly to be encouraging each other to look to the gospel of Jesus and to behave like Jesus to one another. And then thirdly and finally, we've got to be deliberate, very deliberate, in making sure that we're in the right place. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, if you look really closely and you plug all the bits together that we've been thinking about tonight, how is Jesus at work saving people? It's when his people come together, and it's when the gospel, the Lord Jesus, is preached. And so when those two things happen, saving work is going on. And so if you remove yourself from the places where the gospel is being preached and God's joined together people are, then you will be removing yourself from the way, from the place that Jesus is at work saving us today. If you remove yourself from that, then don't be surprised if your battle with sin just feels fierce and rubbish and you keep losing all the time. Why? Because you've taken yourself out of the place where Jesus is at work saving his people. And actually, the great thing about this is that the more we put ourselves in those places. So let's make it personal to our church for a moment. EFC Sunday is an important day because it's where we're together and the gospel is being preached. And that means, according to this, that Jesus is doing his saving work. It's Tuesday nights, the hub. We want to be there. Why? Because God's people are together, the gospel is being preached, and he is doing his saving work. And the great thing about this is that the more we do it, the more we want to do it. If you know that's how Jesus is saving, and you taste that's how he's saving, then you'll become more devoted to it. And he's doing his saving work in us. That's how it works. Becoming a Christian is a work of Jesus to add us to his being saved people. And becoming a Christian means we're work in progress. That's what it means to be a Christian, according to Acts 2 and verse 47. So let's bow our heads and let's pray together. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you so much for the saving work of Jesus. We thank you that there was a moment when the Lord Jesus was at work in some of our lives to bring us to repentance and faith. And we thank you that there is work that Jesus is doing now amongst us, his being saved people. And we look forward to the day where Jesus will save us from sin and the battle that we so hate that rages in us. And Father, we want to call out to you tonight for those we know and perhaps even those among us this evening who as yet have not turned to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith. Please, Lord Jesus, would you do your saving work of adding them to your people that you are in the process of saving. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.